Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
All right, here we go on a Friday after another Thursday night football game that went over. Back-to-back weeks of overs in Thursday night football games. I never thought I'd see the day. We'll talk to Lucy Burge in about 15 minutes or so here. It is crazy to think, though, right? Like, that's usually – listen, I'll take the under pretty much every single week when we're looking at Thursday night football, the short week, guys out of their routine, maybe a little more banged up, haven't had the full week to heal, right? We've heard all those narratives before. You got a 36-24 game last night for the 49ers. Should we start betting overs? I don't know. It feels weird to bet it over in a Thursday night game, but all of a sudden, we're actually getting some really quality games there. Now, there's a difference, as you know, as I've said many times on whatever show that it's been over the course of my time here at BetQL. I love a good football game. I also love to win my bets. So it doesn't really help when you have that, but it is what it is. 49ers coming out and really in a must win game moving forward, but it's difficult to kind of figure out what we want to do with the 49ers moving forward, right? Because the injury bug has bitten them hard. Jordan Mason left the game, came back, one carry, medical tent, out again the rest of the way. And yes, I had the over on his carries. Yes, I had the over on his rushing yards. I have had some horrible bad beats lately. Like, we all go through it. You've been there. I've been there. I had Nico Collins over his receiving yards this past weekend. 67-yard reception, touchdown. I thought, oh, we're good. Now he's at 78. Pulls a hammy. Jordan Mason all over the place in that game. Gets up to, 65 yards on 8 carries, and then he gets hurt. Kind of comes back, not really shoulder, so we're going to have to kind of monitor what's going on there. The one thing that I do know with the San Francisco 49ers moving forward is that whoever they plug in at running back, they're going to put up numbers. I mean, whether it's Deebo Samuel, whether it's Jordan Mason, Isaac Garendo, I don't even know how to, I'll be honest, don't know anything about him. Learned about him, had a 76-yard touchdown run. So whatever the 49ers have in terms of their backfield, you can still look at those props and feel relatively comfortable, especially if it's a lower number to start, taking the over. I don't know if I would touch carries if Jordan Mason's going to be out, because they're going to start moving things around. Jordan Mason and the carries was kind of a staple this entire year. I think that's going to be gone unless he's back and he's healthy, and we'll be good. We'll see what happens next week. A little bit of an extended, right, that mini bye the 49ers have, much needed at this point. But eventually it felt like the San Francisco 49ers were going to deal with that injury regression, and we're getting that now with them. We really are. Brock Purdy was great. 3 touchdowns, went over that prop, 255 passing yards. I get it. Brock Purdy's ceiling may not be as high as a Patrick Mahomes, but whose is in the NFL? We got some young rookie quarterbacks this year that may be in that conversation down the road, but not yet. There are very few quarterbacks in the NFL that truly elevate everybody around them to the point where it doesn't matter what you have as a weapon, right? Mahomes, that was Tom Brady. I mean, I'd maybe argue that was Aaron Rodgers in his prime. It's hard to think about that version of Aaron Rodgers, given what we're seeing with the Jets right now. But really, like, there's very few quarterbacks that are able to do that. So this whole narrative that, like, Brock Purdy, oh, well, he needs talent around him. Yeah, you think? So do most quarterbacks. But he still answers and still delivers with that talent that he's got out there. He threw 3 touchdowns, didn't take a sack, didn't throw an interception. It's pretty damn good for an injury-depleted roster. Second half of games, Brock Purdy still has to show he can consistently play well as opposed to the first half and the scripted plays that Kyle Shanahan's got there. But the reality of it is he's going to be the quarterback of the future for the 49ers. And right now, moving forward, if I'm San Francisco, I know, or if I'm betting on San Francisco, let's put it that way. If I'm looking at props, it's going to be Deebo Samuel rushing and receiving yards. If Jordan Mason's out, you're definitely going to see that. I'm staying away from Brandon Ayuk. Complete no-show again. 2 receptions, 4 targets, 37 yards. This guy got paid. He's had 1 good game this year. Now, some of it is, like, the excuse for the first couple weeks of the season, right, was he missed camp and he wasn't out there, and there's a little bit of chemistry you got to work out, and I'm all for that. That's true. I think that's a fair criticism to have. This is week 6. This is week 6 now. By the time you get to week 6, Brandon Ayuk's not a new guy on this team. Brandon Ayuk is somebody that has been a part of this organization and this offense for a while. I'm sorry. He has been an absolute disaster for the 49ers this year. I'm taking maybe the under on his receiving yards, or I'm just staying away. It's better to stay away because, yeah, at any point he could have himself a game like he did a couple of weeks ago, but are you going to get that consistently enough? And we're not seeing that right now. So again, another reason why Brock Purdy continues to be a quarterback that you can count on week by week. Rushing yards are something I'm going to take with him pretty much every single week now. Had 19 on 4 carries again. I think it was at 13 and a half. So he continues to go over his rushing yards every single week. But when it comes to the 49ers, it's Brock Purdy I can count on. Deebo I can count on. George Kittle I can count on. 2 more touchdowns. Dude's had, 5 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks? George Kittle's been on an absolute tear. Whew, thankfully, at least went over on those receiving yards. It was a struggle for a while, thinking he was going to get hurt too. So it's like 49ers, just it's a really tough team to kind of gauge besides those few. And you got to see what's going to happen with Jordan Mason at this point. We may also be looking at Seattle going, oh, they're not as good as we thought they were. I wasn't really high on Seattle coming into this season. I mean, Geno Smith quietly leading the NFL in passing yards has been great for them, and their offense threw for 312, but they were down a lot, 2 interceptions. Like, they had to throw themselves back in this game. And to be honest with you, the fact that this was still a close game in the fourth quarter is really an indictment on the 49ers, because Seattle's offense looked atrocious. They had no business even being in that game. They should have been absolutely blown out. So you at least give some credit to Geno Smith. I'm probably going to stick with maybe overs on him moving forward, but like those are the few kind of consistencies that I've seen from those teams if you're looking at the props market or really anything else. San Francisco is just going to have to deal with these injuries. I don't know what they're going to be the rest of the season. I don't know where Christian McCaffrey is. He's probably somewhere still in Germany at this point. He's got tendonitis in both Achilles. How are you going to play him this year? Like, really, if you're the 49ers with the injury history that he has before he got to San Francisco, Why would you even play? Why would you even consider playing Christian McCaffrey until he's like the standard 110%, right? It's 110% because that's what it's got to be in sports, right? They've got some talent there. They've got some people that they can count on if Jordan Mason's back and healthy. But that's a question mark. The Christian McCaffrey injury situation is honestly, it's really concerning if you're the 49ers at this point. So, I don't know. Listen, We'll see where San Francisco kind of goes from here, but they're getting more and more depleted as the weeks and the days go on. You know this about me. I've been a tortured Washington fan for years, obviously. I cannot describe the excitement that I have for this weekend. Ravens Commanders. The last time there was this much hype with our fan base alone, let alone just from a hot spot for a betting market on top of that, it's probably 2012, RG3's first year. I know people hear the comparisons all the time, but like, it's true. That's it. Like, It's been that long. It's been about 12 years. Kirk Cousins was, like, fine, but, like, nobody was really excited about Kirk Cousins. You did have some opportunities there with some big numbers for him, but, like, that was really about it, and fewer people were betting at that point anyway. It was a lot more of a fantasy thing. So to see this Jaden Daniels-Lamar Jackson matchup against the top two offenses in the NFL and two of, really, the worst defenses if you're talking about points allowed per game. Like, that's really what this comes down to. And look, Washington has certainly improved defensively over the last few weeks. There's no question about that, right? But you're looking at the number one and the number two offenses in the NFL. I love the over in this game, by the way, 51.5. I'd probably bet that to like a 53.5 and still take the over. These teams are a combined 8-2 to the over this season. And you've got Baltimore, 26th in points allowed. Washington, 21 in points allowed. That's about 48. Give or take, is where they're sitting in points allowed in this, and I think it's going to be even a higher scoring game than that, because you could say, oh, well, you know, no. This game has a very good chance of going over a shootout. You've got really a Washington offense right now, too, that has, they found a rhythm. They found an absolute rhythm at this point. Terry McLaurin's finally, thank God, Terry McLaurin's finally involved. And you see that now where Jaden Daniels isn't just looking for, like, his safety nets, like a, you know, Austin Eckler out of the backfield or a Zach Ertz who's, like, 100 years old at this point. Now that you've got your number one receiver involved with the quarterback, he can still run. Both of these teams are going to allow the run. Like, this has the chance to be an absolute shootout in this game. But, like, if so I will admit it. You know, I say this a lot. Like, I don't bet on my teams. PJ and I are going to be insufferable towards each other for 4 hours from 1 to 5 Eastern Sunday inside the betting lines. I can promise you that. They may have to separate us. We may need a bouncer. I may choke him. He may choke me. There's a chance that that goes down with him being the Ravens fan. But I know this. This is going to be a statement game for Washington that they don't have to win, but they've got a chance to cover. I did find a 7 out there. It was at 7.5, obviously, a long time ago. It's been sitting at 6.5 for a good portion of the week. I snagged a 7 when it came out, so I just wanted to get Washington at least to be right in that key number of 7, even if I get a push when it's all said and done. I think they can keep this game within a touchdown. The thing is, it's about keeping pace. They can get one or two stops, that's great, but this may be a lot of back and forth both offenses, kind of what we saw Monday night from Commanders and Bengals, right? Like 38-33, or what you just saw from the Ravens last week. Like, that's the type of game I think we're going to be in for. It could be an absolute classic when it's all said and done, which I would say is also going to be the polar opposite of what we're going to get Monday night with the Bills and Jets. Let me tell you something, man. At this point, Aaron Rodgers has become the autocorrect of the NFL, where it's like there and you think he's going to help, but really in, it causes more of a headache than anything else, right? How many times have you sat on your phone and you're like, no, I'm not ducking. I'm not ducking right now. What? This is not, it's not helping me at all. That's where Aaron Rodgers is. Comes to the Jets and you think you're in this spot where it's like, okay, this offense is going to be improved. We're going to change the narrative. Everything's going to be different. Well, they fired their coach, and now Nathaniel Hackett's no longer calling plays, which rightfully so. He should not be calling plays. At this point, Nathaniel Hackett is just there to keep Aaron Rodgers company with the Jets. That's it. That's all that he's down there to be for. Tell him some jokes, hang out with him, give him a hug, tell him he loves him. Hey, let's vacation this summer when we miss the playoffs. I mean, that's all that you've got going on there. I love the under in this game between these two teams and offenses that have actually, the Bills at the beginning of the season look great. Their offense is starting to sputter a little bit. The Jets just really don't know what's going on offensively. Now, what I will say is you do have to keep in mind when teams fire their coach, there is that, right, there's that avenue. You like to get in and say, all right, they get a little bounce back. You get a little jolt in the arm, shot in the arm, whatever the expression is you want to use, right? 38 teams have fired their coach during the regular season going all the way back to 2003. Those teams have only gone 17-21 straight up, but they've gone 22-16 against the spread. So it's an opportunity at least here for the Jets to be in a spot where they at least cover, where they play hard. Even if they're not going to win, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to bet the Jets to at least the Jets to keep this thing look different, right? Give you some new looks. But you can't just like take this offense and all of the struggles that it's had and all of a sudden just say, they're completely new. I'm comfortable now. I'm not comfortable enough with that offense to take it over. I'm absolutely not even close to that. And it's going to be a situation where we're probably watching the Jets ride a roller coaster this entire year. You can add Devontae Adams. Okay. What's that really going to do? Like that's going to help a little bit when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, but he can't block. You know, the defense hasn't been as good as it was last year. I think the Jets are going to be in for a rough, rough year this year with Mr. Autocorrect. I really, like, you think Aaron Rodgers, let's be honest. Aaron Rodgers loves, first off, I love Aaron. I think Aaron Rodgers is incredibly interesting. I like the fact that he speaks his mind. I just wouldn't want him being my quarterback. You know, it's at the point now where he becomes more of a distraction than anything else. And he may be right, holding players accountable more within that organization. He's been a part of some really good teams. The Jets organization doesn't have that. It's like talking about Tom Brady going to Tampa, right? And Baker Mayfield talked about how stressful it was when he was there. Yeah, it's Tom Brady, and he's bringing the Patriot way and a higher standard to Tampa. So I'm sure Aaron Rodgers wants to do the same with the Jets, but you've got a clash of two different cultures, and you don't have the support system or the quality leadership to get that where you want it to be with the Jets, right? Attitude reflects leadership. Clearly, there wasn't good leadership going on with the Jets. Lucy Birch jumps on with us, BetQL. Bet slips and bat flips. I will say it's slow. It's a great name, but it's still a tongue twister at times. You know a lot about, obviously, great leadership in the Patriot way over time. Are you excited about the Drake May era getting started with the Patriots, huh?
Oh, Nick, yes, I am. Good afternoon, maniacs. Assemble. The Drake May fanatics are ready to roll. We are very excited for the debut of Drake May starting at quarterback. It's a whole new era. Could he be the future of the Patriots? That's what's so exciting about this. I don't want to say he could be the next Tom Brady, because I did say that about Mac Jones, and that did not happen. Quite the opposite, actually. So I'm not going to put any kind of jinxes on Drake May, but I feel already that Drake May maybe could inject a better energy into this team and a change at quarterback. We saw this with the Patriots when Bailey Zappi replaced Mac Jones, came in, swooped in immediately. The energy changed and everybody was excited. He was singing Stacey's Mom along with the PA song that was playing, and he was just on the bench singing. Like, what? Better energy automatically. And I feel like that is what is going to happen with Drake May. However, I am at this point staying away from this game. I don't want to say the Patriots are going to win, because this team has greatly disappointed throughout the season. So who knows if this is really going to inject an energy that is good enough for them to win the game. I don't know. So I'm staying away. I'm going to watch just as a fan and be excited about possibly a new era of the Patriots, like finally starting with a little bit of a bridge with Jacoby Brissett, and that it had potential in week one, and then it was disaster. So I think Drake May can, I don't want to say he can turn the season around, but I think it, at the very least, has led to a few days of excitement for Patriots fans that they have not had since the days following that week one win. And that's a long time for Patriots fans to not be excited about it.
Well, listen, when you're conditioned to winning for two decades, yeah, it's a tough, tough stretch. I'll be honest, like, I just don't understand why the Patriots do this. Like, I know the offense has obviously looked bad under Jacoby Brissett, but, like, up against this Texans defense, they're going to get after him. I mean, he's going to probably take multiple sacks. I'm certainly going to bet an interception from Drake May in this game. I just go back to that Thursday night game a few weeks ago, and he looked overwhelmed. I know he's late in the game, and they're getting their ass kicked and all that, but, like, he looks, and it's just like you look at him going, oh, my God, this is way faster than when I was at North Carolina.
Definitely. And that's the argument, right? That they should have played him against the Dolphins instead. Why did they wait for the Texans? And it does, as some people have made a great point, that then he has a built-in excuse for, well, you know, I could fall back on, if he doesn't play well, be like, oh, well, it was against the Texans. So at least there's that. However, though, if you start him against the Dolphins and he plays well against a Dolphins team that is having a bit of a tough go, then his confidence is built. And if he plays not so well against a very good Texans team, will his confidence be shot? So is he at a disadvantage? Of course he is, because the O-line is a disaster, and he could get injured. That's the concern. So what it is, as I said, at the very least, just before the game, leading up to the game, excitement and a new energy. And then after the game, probably complete despair once again. But until then, we're going to enjoy this. Patriots fans, I think, will just enjoy this, unless you are not on Team Drake May and you're mad that he's starting against the Texans. So in that case, you know, that's tough for you, but yeah, that's why I'm staying away, because it could be one side of either extreme. He's excellent and against a Texans team, which would quite frankly be a surprise, or he's terrible. So I am staying away from it completely.
Yeah, and I think his passing yards are only like 165. I mean, you'd want to take the under, but I mean, he could throw for 170. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. I'm with you. I'd probably stay away from a lot of this, too. What was your takeaway from the 49ers? Yeah, you know, you're right. Listen, we already have enough unknowns. I don't want to add more to the mix when I'm betting on a game. There's way too many other props and markets that I'd rather jump in than like force myself to bet something Drake May, although a sack might be the way to go depending on where that's priced. Hey, what did you take away from just the 49ers last night? Because I'm watching now Jordan Mason getting hurt. This team's more and more banged up. To me, I think it's more and more of a testament of Brock Purdy, somebody that you can count on week after week, whether it's the props market or just to lead this team to really still wins. I know he gets a lot of criticism about like low ceiling or he's got to have talent around him. Well, yeah, of course. A quarterback needs talent around him unless you're Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes at this point.
True, and the injuries have been tough for the Niners. But yes, as you said, Brock Purdy has been leading them. I did have Niners minus 3.5, so I quite enjoyed this game. And so that was a great success. Yeah, look at that. I love it. Look at us. Big winners here. But they do need to score more in the red zone. So I feel like they could have even won by more. Like, I felt like there were moments when I was kind of sweating minus 3.5. I was like, oh boy, this is getting kind of close here. And I feel like it shouldn't have been. So they did improve their red zone efficiency at 44% now. So they aren't 29th in the league anymore. They're like 24th. So that was good at least. But I felt like they should have won by more, though the defense did okay. But I was, thinking going into this, like, this is maybe one of the games that's coming up that I will take the Niners. Either I stay away or, like, I take the Chiefs going forward or I take the Cowboys going forward over. I don't know even. Maybe against the Cowboys, I'd take the Niners, but the injuries are a concern. When McCaffrey comes back, will he, as you were saying, will he be 100%? Who really knows? And I hope that he is, because by November, you would hope. But if he is, I'd be more inclined to start taking the Niners again once Christian McCaffrey comes back.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, too, in terms of, like, they should have won by more. The Seahawks should not have been in that game. That was really
correct.
That, to me, was that was all on San Francisco for just not stepping on their throats and ending that thing. Because that game being a one-score game, and even in just the second half, let alone close, it blew my mind that Seattle was still in that, given the way they were playing, especially offensively. I talked about it a little bit ago, you know, the coaching change. Robert Saleh out with the Jets. You've also got play-calling duties taken away from Nathaniel Hackett. You in or out on the Jets moving forward at this point? And let's start, obviously, with what you think is going to happen against the Bills.
Yes, well, I will take Bills' money line, I think, because both teams need a win. And I think the Bills have they're more inclined to actually get the win. With the Jets and the coaching change, I feel like the problem is more Aaron Rodgers, and he's still there. So I am not inclined to take the Jets. They're just, he's the one making the throws. He is the one throwing the interceptions. So I feel like I will stick with the Bills here because I feel like they both are desperate for a win, as I said, but I think the Bills are just the team that I think will get the win, and they have not lost three regular season games in a row since 2018. I don't think they are going to do it again this season or let that happen this week. So Bills money line.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Jets maybe – I like the under in that, but I just think the Jets have way bigger problems, and you're right. Aaron Rodgers is not – again, that's why I said he's the autocorrect of the NFL. You think it's going to work, but, like, really, it's not actually helping you. It's the wrong words. It's the wrong things. This isn't helping. Are you going to be okay seeing the Yankees continue to succeed in the playoffs? That can be all right for you?
Yeah, it's fine. You know, even if there's a Subway Series, it's still, I'll be okay. Like, I will keep it together. Though secretly, I'm rooting against them, of course. Like, I do not want the Yankees to win another game ever again. But, you know, in these playoffs, fine. But if they do make it to the World Series against the Mets, who I am, of course, rooting for, I would hope the Mets win. And the thing is, though, I think they would. I don't think the Yankees are a World Series winning team, let alone a World Series team. I don't think they're going to make it to the World Series. However, if they do, I don't think they're going to win. Sometimes I'm like, do they have it to win the World Series? But I feel like there are other teams in these playoffs, like the Mets, who have more of a World Series of caliber and vibe to them than the Yankees. The Yankees could easily fall apart and their bats could go quiet. Aaron Judge, a little bit quiet in these playoffs. The Mets, not so quiet. So there are many other teams, literally every other team in these playoffs that I think could beat the Yankees in the World Series.
The Mets do kind of have this feel of like a team of destiny, especially with the chaos that they had last year to now be in this position. It just shows you year over year, things can totally change in baseball. Dodgers, Padres, who do you got?
Originally, I had the Dodgers to win this series, and I don't think that's going to happen now, but I do have a bunch of bets in the game tonight. So I have Fernando Tatis Jr. to hit a home run. He has been dominating in the series. He has 3 home runs so far, 7 hits in total in the series. Against Yamamoto, he is batting 1,000. He's got 3 hits, including a double, 2 singles. So I think he can hit a home run. Then Manny Machado, over 1.5 total bases as well. He has 4 hits in the series, and he has hit this over in 2 of 4 games with 1 home run. He's batting 500 against Yamamoto. And then Freddie Freeman, over 1.5 total bases as well. He has 3 hits in the series, and he hit this in the first game with 2 hits. So those are the bets I have tonight, and I feel like the Padres are going to win.
And you know what? It's, again, another team that almost feels like a team of destiny when we get through all this. BetQL 5-star play, you got that for us?
Yes, so we have one for the NFL this weekend. Falcons-Panthers over 47. The Panthers have hit the over in their last 3 straight games. Falcons have hit the over in their last 2. Falcons also scored 36 points and allowed 30 in their last game. So the BetQL model loves the over of 47 here for Falcons-Panthers.
All right, thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Nick. I'll talk to you soon.
The Drake May era begins in New England. Yeah, listen, it's at least the feeling of a fresh start now. And listen, just because Drake May struggle, or probably does struggle against that Houston defense week 6, you know, his first week out there as a starter, that doesn't mean that he can't improve. I mean, if you go and look at the numbers from these other 3 rookie quarterbacks that have already had starts in Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels, the numbers have been trending upward for their teams. Some of it is because everybody else around them has also improved, especially, you know, defensively for the Bears and for the Commanders and, you know, even for the Broncos, especially that Broncos secondary. So you look at those and go, okay, well, they have had, you know, some growth there. I'm a little bit more worried about, like, the growth of the team of the Patriots at this point, but sometimes that shot in the arm, sometimes that extra just feeling of hope, like Lucy talked about, right? Like, it feels like that new era is finally there versus, hey, this bridge, how long is Jacoby Brissett going to be out there? That can make changes. That can kind of change the attitude and the mindset of what's going on around there. So I would stay away from that game, too. I'm there, but maybe a sack. Bet that, depending on what you find in terms of a price. If it's not heavily juiced, probably will be, unless you go for like 2 or something like that. So depends on what it is. There are some games, though. Speaking of the Bears, I like the Bears money line this weekend. Got it at -120. I think it's a really good spot to be in right there. Here's the thing. Trevor Lawrence is going to be in a spot that is has filled with a lot more, let's just say, discomfort than what he dealt with last week. Okay, so the Colts pressured Trevor Lawrence once. All of last week, okay? He's not going to be as comfortable against a Bears team that's 2nd in pass rush win rate this year. So we're going from 1 pressure to a team that's 2nd overall in pass rush win rate. That's a big, big difference. So that bounce back feeling that the Jags had, I think that comes to a crashing halt, especially with, look, Bears are quietly 3-2. They're playing well defensively. Caleb Williams is starting to find a rhythm with that offense too. It's why I say, like, listen, you know where my heart is. It's Jaden Daniels, right? Caleb Williams isn't going to let him just run away with that Offensive Rookie of the Year award, and you're starting to see that. DJ Moore's getting more involved. Rome Odunze, like, the chemistry with the wide receivers. Bears are in a really, really good spot. The market's going to start to adjust, I think, over the next couple of weeks with them. We're going to start to see, I think, more and more of that improvement with a Bears team that you go, oh, they got it together now. Here's where the hype was. The struggle at the beginning of the year was expected. I certainly expected that because it's a rookie quarterback in a new offense with a lot of other new pieces that are involved in there all at once. It takes a little bit of time. And with less preseason or almost no preseason for some teams, first couple weeks of the year are actually turning into like preseason games for the NFL. You've got the extra game. Teams are just kind of treating this thing differently. I love the under 2, 17.5, Broncos-Chargers first half. In that one, the Chargers are going to grind this thing down. We know they want to run. That's Harbaugh's thing. Loves to do that. The Chargers rank dead last in seconds per play. So that's kind of one of those nerdy little stats, right? But they are going to sit there, grind this thing out, take their time, eat clock as much as they possibly can. The Broncos are blitz happy. That defense is really strong. So I think you see a very low scoring game, especially in the first half. Maybe there's a little bit more of a rhythm and they figure things out more in the second. So I just went with the first half in that one at 17.5. But also, like, Chargers receivers, where is the separation coming from? I'll wait. I don't think we have that right now. So, you know, also Lions -3. Jared Goff, I know we talk about this a lot, right, in indoor games, but he's 38-18 against the spread in indoor games. Like, he plays really, really well. Also, he's on extended rest, 19-11-2 on extended rest. It's a really, really good spot for Jared Goff. And I'm sorry, but like, I just don't believe in the Cowboys. Again, they still can't run the football. I know Rico Dowdle is getting some more carries and at times shows some flashes. How are you going to make an offense that you say you're going to run the ball more and then have nobody that can run the football 2 years in a row? I haven't understood what the Cowboys are doing. It seems like a lot of people don't understand what the Cowboys are doing, but here we are. Dak's also kind of a stat pattern. I think people kind of forget this, right? 19-33 against the spread against teams above 500. That's in his career. He's covered in just 36% of the games he's played in against teams that are above 500. But he's 32-14-2 against the spread against teams that are under 500. Good teams? Hey, it's just not the same Dak that you're going to get against teams. Yo, they're essentially above right there. So non-NFC East teams, only 2-7 against the spread against them. It's really not a good spot. Like, that's actually one of my favorite bets of the weekend. One of my favorite bets of this weekend is Lions -3 against the Cowboys. It's a great spot for Detroit. You've got the extended rest. Jared Goff's indoors. I mean, he is having a historic season in terms of completion percentage, too. I mean, right up there with Jaden Daniels. I mean, you had, the consecutive streak or whatever for most passes without an incompletion for Jared Goff. It's like you watch him and go, yeah, Jared Goff still actually got it, right? Like, I think at this point now, we don't have to worry about Jared Goff not living up to those expectations. All right, a couple more I want to throw out. Over 51.5, like I mentioned, Commanders and Ravens. Couple two in college. Texas, Oklahoma, under 50.5. And that Quinn Ewers, maybe a little bit of rust. I think Oklahoma could get after him, make his life miserable. I like Oregon to cover +3.5. That's my favorite dog of the weekend as well. I think you're going to see both those teams feeling each other out. Ohio State and Oregon kind of just running the ball, making things a little bit eating clock. Will Howard, like, is he going to get more design runs for Ohio State? We don't really know where we're going there. I think that's one of those spots where you sit there and say, okay, that could be a game where it stays close late just because they're also running the ball as much as they possibly can. Also, my favorite pop prop of the week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.